When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. And we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging. And their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
And today we're speaking to the gorgeous Chrissy, who's a mum and an entrepreneur.
This podcast contains truth, laughter, and the occasional F word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right, this is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
Here we are back in balmy, warm.
Minus one, Melbourne.
The last 3 mornings, white lawn.
Oh, yeah.
So much frost.
Yeah.
And I had my car parked out the front, so I had to open the front gate and it was all ice.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this is actually cold.
Yeah, really cold. And I thought, oh, you know, my mum used to say Jack Frost has been.
Yeah.
I've been saying that to the girls. They don't care.
Jack Frost can leave as far as I'm concerned. All the little bird baths are frozen.
Oh, no.
It's proper cold. I know people in Tassie are like, yeah, well, it snowed at our house. So, yes. You win 100%.
Yes.
But it's we haven't cold had, at the bus stop.
We haven't been going to school for 2 winters.
No, we haven't.
So it's a bit of a shock to get out and walk or get ready and get up and going.
A TikTok. It's got that audio, which was from the UK, and it's got this girl and she's in Melbourne and she's got like, you know, she puts on like a thermal shirt, puffer jacket, hat, beanie, whatever. And then she's like, I know it's a terrible thing to say, but I'd really like another lockdown right now.
It's
like,
yes. It's true.
We avoided winter for 2 years.
Yes. So people have been complaining in my house about being cold.
It's cold.
Yeah. Or they're like, a teacher's, you know, still want windows open.
I know, because of the
ventilation.
COVID
so
is
that
going
is pretty cold.
Off. It's so weird.
Anyway, there's your weather, Auntie Lisi and everybody.
Yep.
It's very entertaining. So we have a great guest here today that we're all going to get to know together. Mm-hmm. So would you like to say hello and introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. My name's Chrissy. I'm mum to Gigi and Lena and also new business owner, which is interesting with two kids.
Yeah.
Life in general being crazy. But nice to meet you all.
Yeah. Oh, we're thrilled to have you. The thing that everyone needs to know is that we share a support worker, gorgeous Amy.
Yep.
And so,
best.
She is the best. And we're so lucky to have her, aren't we?
Amazing, yeah. She's awesome. And she brought us together as well
she
as just
did.
Being a superstar. And Gigi is obsessed with Amy, which is so cute.
I've seen lots of gorgeous videos of Gigi and our whole family loves to look at her. Yeah, she's cute.
Yeah, it's
She's a cutie. She's my little sweet pea.
She is. Well, let's get into our questions.
Okay, so the first question is, do you have music or a band or a song that either pumps you up in the down times or you love listening to when it's the good times?
Yeah, sure, I do. I will preface this by saying that I'm an absolute 80s tragic, so don't judge.
No,
I'm all about the 80s power ballads.
Yes.
I'm also a fan of karaoke, so that's a dangerous combo.
Same.
Especially car karaoke.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's literally impossible for me to not sing along to this one and probably even throw in an air punch depending on, you know, the mood at the time when it's on the radio. Yeah. It's Total Eclipse of the Heart by Bonnie Tyler.
Oh, that is a banger.
Total Eclipse it of is, the heart. Yeah. Turn Around, Bright Eyes. It's my karaoke signature song also. Complete with interpretive dance moves.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You spin around?
Whole mood. I spin around, I air kick, I air punch. Oh. You need to keep a wide distance around me because it can get a bit dangerous after a few wines especially.
Yeah.
How fun.
I have actually performed it at a few weddings and parties, uninvited.
It's coming from your heart.
Yeah.
You're giving the ultimate gift.
And you were free.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
A bit of karaoke. Yeah.
Karaoke.
It's time for the speeches.
No, it's
give
not.
Give that mic to me.
that's my song that gets me up and going when, you know, in both times, I think, in the good times and the hard times. You just can't help sing along to that one.
Yeah, good.
What about, did you win any awards at school or any other time in your life?
Well, just like Holly, who was on a few weeks back, I heard her say, and I related to that. I pretty much just avoided sports and, athletics days like the plague at school. Yeah. I was the kid in the big baggy t-shirt hanging onto the side of the pool trying not to drown.
Yep.
So, not for sport, no. But I did get an award for being the best, a friend to everyone in the class. Year one, which I feel like at the time I was really proud of, but now looking back, it might've been a bit of a participation award.
But it's a pretty good one. It's a P award.
Yeah, it's a P award. That's right. And then in high school, I really peaked in the awards space when I won the award for being the best behaved person on the school bus, which
I'm never getting that award.
It was great.
Me either.
It was great for my school, for my street cred. We just moved from Canberra to far north Queensland. So let me just say it was not hard to be the best behaved person on that bus.
No.
It was terrifying. And I was just literally scared.
You were surviving.
I was just surviving. Yeah. So that was very embarrassing. And I had to walk the length of the bus to get the award.
Oh, no.
Also,
that's cruel.
Yeah. It was bad. And then I had things thrown at me.
Oh, yes. No. Chrissy.
But the bus driver was really sweet and he was such a nice man. And so I felt like I should go and get the award because he was so proud of me.
Oh. Yeah.
And it was. And a best of Australian crawl mixed tape. That's what the prize was. So worth it.
You are way too young to have that as a prize.
So he made it.
No.
You are. Australian crawl was finished before I was in high school.
She likes them.
Yeah, I think it was a bit of a classic back then, but I wasn't that far off. Yeah, it was. Yeah, because I am a child of the 80s. But still. It was a great honour to get this award, but it was also the end of my social life.
That would have been
walk
scary.
From that day
walk of shame.
Yeah.
Best behaved. I'm the best behaved. Yeah, yeah, that would have been
not an award you want to win.
No.
13 years old. No.
Goodness. 13. Oh no.
Anyway, and the best question of all, why are you a P?
Well, I'm a P because, as I mentioned earlier, I have two beautiful daughters and our youngest daughter, Gigi, who's 3, was born with a rare genetic condition called mosaic trisomy 20, which we didn't find out till she was about 14 months old. But, yeah, she's my little one in a billion girl, I call her. It's quite rare. So
right.
she's a rare little beauty. And that's why I'm a P.
Yes. And she's your youngest, isn't she?
Yeah, she is. Yeah. Her older sister, Lena, is almost 5. So there's the two of them, two littlies, and they're the best of friends. They're very cool together. They're really cute. Yeah.
Tell us about your pregnancy and your birth. Did anybody pick anything up or?
No, strangely they didn't, because I would have thought that it would have been picked up at the 10-week blood test, because I had those tests. Being an older mum, older pregnancy, I had both that test with both Lena and Gigi, and it didn't pick it up, which is interesting. So we didn't actually know that anything was amiss until Gigi was about 6 weeks old, when I started to notice some changes with her eyes.
Mm.
One of her pupils was quite large and a different shape than the other one, like right. a weird sort of keyhole shape.
Okay.
That was the first indication that we had. So, yeah, during the – I did have – quite tricky pregnancies with both girls, and we did do IVF. So with Lena we did IVF, we had fertility issues, and then with Gigi we did assisted ovulation, I think it's called, which is kind right. of like IVF but not full
yeah.
IVF.
Yeah.
So but we were sort of under the impression that everything was fine, there was no indications, but during the pregnancies I had to have use Clexane every day, like inject myself, because yep. I have a blood clotting disorder. Oh, yeah, so right. Both pregnancies both labors were emergency labors, and they came on early, and I, because I'd had the actual blood thinners too close to the birth with Gigi, they had to do it under general anesthetic, and it was quite a nasty, yucky labor. So, yeah, we don't know if that had anything to do with anything, probably not, but yeah. it just was bad luck, I think. And then, yeah, we didn't really find out that nothing was indicated until she was, yeah, about 6 weeks old, when I noticed something with her eyes, and then it kind of went from there. And
right.
then,
did you talk to the maternal or did you see a doctor?
No, we didn't actually, because why didn't we? Oh, we went to I took her to an ophthalmologist.
Uh-huh.
Because of the keyhole shaped pupil, yes. I thought probably that was, I don't know, that
Let's
was
go straight
the
to them.
Place I thought
yeah,
of.
Yeah, of course.
Because I thought, oh, it's obviously just a vision thing. So yes. we'll just go there. And he was quite odd, and he he was really old school, and he sort of just said, oh yeah, it's just called a coloboma. It's rare, but there's nothing wrong with her. You know, it's fine. It doesn't go all the way back into the retina, which can be bad, but it's only in the front part of the eye. So it's just cosmetic, and
right.
you know, she might have some light sensitivity. That's probably the extent of it.
Okay.
And he just kind of sent me on my way,
mm-hmm.
Which was okay. But then about a month later, her eyes both started to shake ever so slightly, and I could see that they were both shaking all the time.
Right.
And then one was also turning in a bit. So I thought, this is not right. So I took her back, and also by then she was also a bit floppy in her upper body, so she just wasn't sitting up straight like she should have been.
Right.
The maternal nurse was sort of at that point was like, oh, it's probably just a bit of a global developmental thing, or you know, it could be just a physical developmental delay.
Yeah.
But when I took her back to the ophthalmologist, he sort of assessed her again and said, oh well, she's just got the coloboma, and she's also got this thing called nystagmus, which is where the eyes shake, and she's also got strabismus, which is the eye crossing, like a squint. And I said to him, well,
that's a lot.
It's a bit odd though, isn't it, that there's three things. I'm a bit concerned. And he pretty much just brushed me off as a overprotective mum, and just said, well, no, that's just a coincidence, don't worry about it. He basically just said, we just need to operate to correct her eye turn. And she was really young. She wasn't even 6 months old. He wanted to operate. And I said, well, does that help her vision? And he said, no, it's purely cosmetic. At which point I kind of went, I don't like you very much.
No. Yeah,
I don't think I'll keep seeing you.
Yes.
I asked him, what's the biggest risk with surgery? Because we started talking about the surgery, because I thought, I'll just ask a few
minutes.
This is the moment when I pretty much just walked out the door. He said, well, the biggest risk is usually mum's just overreacting.
Oh,
ripped it off.
I'm worried about it. And I just sort of went, okay.
Oh,
well.
Those days are gone to speak to people like that.
Weird.
They should be.
Yeah, they should be gone.
Come on.
But yeah, that was a bit of a red flag.
Yeah.
You wouldn't say that if you were the dad. I'll tell you that
now. Come on. That is rough.
It was pretty rude. He was very old school. Anyway, I just sort of said, thanks very much, and went on my way and got her a second opinion with a lovely ophthalmologist who is still her ophthalmologist today. And she agreed, and she said, look, there's a few things going on. The best thing to do before we do anything is to get an MRI, have an EEG, and just see if there's anything else. And that kind of triggered off a series of tests, and that all came back normal. So we just kept searching, really, because we didn't know, but we knew something wasn't right. So It just kind of kept going until we ended up with a geneticist after we saw a neurologist.
Right.
And the geneticist did genetic testing, and then it came back from the genetic test that she had what looked like a little extra ring on genetic material on chromosome 20, just an extra little ring on there on some cells and not others. And so he straight away said, oh, she's got ring chromosome 20, which is a condition that is characterized by people who have it. They're completely typically developing children, usually children. They get it in childhood, usually it comes on, but it just comes on as really hard to control seizures, and that's the first indication.
Right. Yeah.
And so that sounded really different to her because, yes, A, she hadn't had any seizures and she'd had an EEG, and B, she had all these other things happening for her. So it just didn't quite sit right with me, and I thought, that doesn't sound right. And then I kind of went on my way and I started to do some research, and I really started looking into it. And the ring chromosome 20, which is what he said she had, was quite severe as well in most cases. Like a lot of people got misdiagnosed with epilepsy with it. And then when they finally found the diagnosis, the correct diagnosis, it couldn't be treated with epilepsy medication. So it was really bad because these poor children, and in some cases adults, because it could come on any time up to, you know, your 20s or something, just could not control the seizures. And so it would really set them back and it would be very difficult to live with. And the families were, you know, very under a lot of pressure, and it sounded really awful. And so I got in touch with the head of the kind of body that looks after it in the UK. And it was a mum, actually, funny enough. It was a mum who had a child who's a teenager who started the whole thing. It was a foundation and everything. Wow. She's amazing. Yeah. So she actually Zoom called me, like, even though she was so busy and she had this entire foundation to run, she Zoom called me and we talked about it at length. And she said, I don't think it's that either. Maybe you should talk to this other organisation in the UK called Unique. I think it's called Unique or rarechromo.org, I think it is. And I got in touch with them, and they've got genetic counsellors, and I sent them her actual results because I can't interpret them, obviously. And I'm not a specialist, I don't know. And so I got them to look at it, and they said, look, we can't tell you what the diagnosis is because that's not our job, but we do think that you're right and it's not this, and it is mosaic trisomy 20, which is what I had sort of been researching and thinking, this sounds more like Gigi.
Mums, they know.
Yeah, they know. They really
so I then to. Had to then awkwardly go back to the geneticist and say,
think you're wrong.
Hey, I don't think this is right.
Wow. How did that go?
Yeah, how did that go? Were you nervous?
It was, I was really nervous. I felt silly. I did feel like an overreacting mum or a mum that knows better than a doctor, you know, like you feel a bit silly.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty stubborn as well. And so I just sort of said, look, you know, just humour me and please just look into it a bit more if you could just. And he was sort of saying, well, what you're saying doesn't make sense, because I was trying to explain it in really basic terms to this guy who's like the
PhD
specialist in Victoria. And I'm drawing stick figures with like two chromosome arms and one ring and going, but this is this one and this is the one that Gigi's got. And he was like, yeah, okay, lady. sure. And then eventually I sent him a bunch of information and, you know, he went off and spoke to some colleagues, and he actually came back reasonably quickly and said, we did a Zoom call, and he said, so do you remember that show Happy Days? And I said, yeah, well, I said, yes, despite my youthful appearance, I do. Thank you, I do. And he said, well, do you remember the Fonz? And I said, yeah. And he said, do you remember how he could never say that he was wrong? And I said, yeah. And he goes, I was wrong.
Sorry.
And he was really, to his credit, he was really kind of, you know, good about it. He wasn't rude or anything. He just sort of said, look, you know, I'm really sorry. I should have, you know, looked into it more. And, yep, you're right. It's not
Wow, Chrissy.
Yeah, good on you.
How did that feel?
Good, but I think I hit a wall then.
Yes.
You know, when you've just, you know, when you've just been going and going and you just and all of a sudden you have an answer and it doesn't answer anything. I thought, oh, great, we've got an answer. And I said to him, so, you know, what does this mean?
What
does it look like?
Yeah.
And he literally just said, there's really no way of knowing. we don't know what it means for her. We don't know because it's so rare. We don't know what it looks like. We don't know what she's going to be like. The spectrum of it is so broad that, you know, we can't tell. He said Giselle will tell us as she grows what it means.
Okay.
And I think that just slammed me.
Yes, that
I just,
would have.
I was waiting for some answers.
Yeah.
There was no answers. So and whilst we did have a diagnosis, which is great because a lot of people don't ever get one. And I can't
Yeah.
I can't even imagine, you know, how hard that is. But
yeah.
I just lost all adrenaline. I was running
that's right.
Crashed in a big heap.
Yeah. And what did that? What does that mean? Did you cry all the time? Did you not sleep? What when you crashed?
Oh, I just cried. I got really angry. Mm. I think I'd been so intent and focused on finding an answer that I got the answer and it didn't fix anything. And it didn't change anything. And I just realised, oh God, this is it. This is life now. And I also still don't know what it means.
Yes. So
it just means not something that's potentially not good for her or for us or, you know, and he even said, oh, she could still start having seizures even though she doesn't have the other thing.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, great. So now we've got that to look forward to potentially as well. I just kind of felt just defeated, I guess, and just felt flat and depressed for a while, quite a while.
And were you able to talk to anyone else whose child had this or an adult?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I eventually found, strangely, I found this wonderful family in Perth, actually.
Oh.
I was looking, I was Googling, crazily Googling things.
Yes, yes.
looking for answers. Mm. And I found this article about a girl in Perth who had this condition. And I thought, what? That's wow. And so I sort of read it all and then I thought, okay, I really need to find these people. And so I contacted the publication and she would have been at that time, I think she would have been about 9 by then because the article is about 3 or 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And the article was really positive too, which made me really hopeful because it was about how great she was and how she was doing so well. And she had all these supports and it was about her support therapy team, her parents and everything.
Mm.
And I sent an email to the publication and just on the off chance and said, you know, would you mind reaching out to the family and seeing if they might, want to get in touch with me. And lo and behold, about 2 days later, I got this really long email from the mum and she said, I just started bawling when I saw your message because I've never found anyone that has this.
Yeah.
And so it was really good. Yeah.
What a
it
moment
just made
for you
me
both.
So happy. Mm. Yeah. And she's been just incredible. Like she's just such a fountain of knowledge and support and she's been through it all and, you know, she's just very strong and, you know, they have different challenges. Like their symptoms and things aren't all the same, but there are similarities.
Yeah.
And I also found a boy. I also found a family with a boy in Minnesota as well.
Okay.
Who was 7 at the time, he's about 9 now. And his results were very similar to Gigi's. So you can actually access the results if the parents decide to put the results on the database from that unique place in the UK.
Yeah.
They give permission, you can actually request to be in touch with them.
Oh,
as well. So
that's great.
I managed to talk to her mum. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was really good.
Yeah. Mm. And so.
So you don't, we always say to our kids, you just need 1 or 2 friends. Right.
Yeah.
So even so you to just have 1 or 2 friends, that was enormous.
Yeah. Enormous. And you can talk to your friends, you know, your friends that you already have, but it's not the same, you know, you guys know it's not just not the same.
No.
You know, they can't really truly understand. They try to understand and they're
That's
very
right.
supportive, but it's, you just need someone who gets
That's
what you're
right.
going through.
Yeah.
So Gigi now, what is she like? Like what does she love doing and, you know?
She's just an absolute joy. She's honestly like the funniest and most outgoing kid. Like she's she's so social.
Yeah.
She's hilarious. Like she gives Lena a run for her money. I think she's even more extroverted than Lena and she's pretty extroverted. she loves singing. She loves music. She sings all the nursery rhymes. She can't sing the words. She can only sing 1 or 2 words, but you can tell what she's singing.
Yes.
She knows every tune to every nursery rhyme and
yeah.
She's just started to walk.
Yeah.
So she's a bit wobbly. She had a bit of came a cropper at childcare the other day, but she's very determined. She's super determined.
Yeah.
She's super happy, which makes life just so much easier, I think. And I can feel so much more positive about it because I can see her changing and developing and growing.
Yes.
And I don't worry about her as much. I still worry, of course, but I just don't have that feeling where I'm just feel so that feeling of dread, you know, when you just think, I don't know what this means. I don't know where this is going. Like, I just feel confident, more confident now, because she's just so happy, really. And she just loves the kids, you know, childcare, and she loves the teachers. And she's just, they're really wonderful there too. They look up, you know, they have an extra worker in the room, an extra teacher in the room.
And, terrific.
Yeah, she's got friends, and she's got all her support workers, just incredible. Like, she's got four different support workers, and they're all amazing. Like, I don't know how we found them, to be honest.
Yeah.
So lucky.
Terrific.
Yeah, she's a good kid.
What about, do you have physio and OT and speech, and how do you manage all of that?
Yeah, we do. It's a bit tricky because she can go to childcare, which is wonderful, but she's there 3 days a week. So we do try and fit it in on the other 2 days, which is a bit tricky. But, yeah, she has a physio, she has a speech therapist, she has an OT, she has a range of, like, other kind of specialists, like her ophthalmologist.
Yes.
And so life is pretty hectic. You know, you guys know what it's like with NDIS as well. There's so much paperwork. So much, you know, admin. NDIS admin and things. But, yeah, we try and fit it in on the days that she's at home. We don't really do therapy on weekends. We try to
have
keep
a break.
Her free.
Mm.
Yeah, just because to let her, you know, let us just be a family.
Yes.
Let her be a kid. And
yes.
She gets to do a lot of fun stuff with her support workers, because it's really tricky, because Tony and I, we always joke we've got three good legs and one good back between us. So my back's gone, and he's on his Achilles. He's torn his Achilles tendon, which is just horrendous.
Oh, no.
Like, really bad. And so, yeah, we need
to have surgery
He had surgery straight away. He did it about 3.5 months ago.
It's a big recovery.
Playing baseball.
Yeah,
playing baseball. It was pretty horrendous, to be honest. So, he's only just started walking again.
Yes.
And he's still limping and having physio and whatnot. So we've got a lot of physio in this house.
Yeah.
We spend an obscene amount of money on physio. Lena's the only one who doesn't have a physio.
Yes.
Gigi gets to do a lot of fun stuff with her support workers that we probably physically can't really do with her at the moment.
Yeah.
Like, we will eventually, but like going to the playground, because she needs the physical help to get up on the equipment and stuff. Yeah,
that's
but
right.
The therapists are wonderful. Yeah, we're very lucky. The therapists are great as well.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
And tell us when you started thinking about creating a product, and where did that come from?
So that's based on, you know, experiences I had, I guess frustrations I had with feeding and settling Gigi as a baby. So before we knew that anything was going on with her, we just knew at that point that she was a really, really tricky sleeper. We found it really difficult to get her to sleep in the evenings, especially. It would take, 5 or 6 hours to get her down to sleep.
Wow.
And she just would cry, literally just cry and scream. And the only way that we could get her to sleep was feeding her bottle. But all the bibs that we had, like, we couldn't get them off because it would wake her up.
Yeah.
And she needed a bib because she was quite dribbly, and otherwise she'd end up all wet and
you
couldn't put her in bed. So it was just this constant struggle of trying to get her bloody bib off while holding her in one hand and trying to use the other hand to pull off a bib that just had fiddly clips or Velcro. And the Velcro is
noise.
She hated it. Yeah, she was scared of the sound and it would wake her, and she'd then cry and it'd be hours.
You'd be back to that.
So I started off by thinking, I'll just do something that hooks onto the front of her her top or whatever. And I tried to, I went to Spotlight, and I also will preface this with, I did not win any awards at school for home economics. I am so bad. I think I sewed a three-legged pair of pants once. and I sewed something to my pants a few times in home ec. So I went to Spotlight and I tried to make these. I cut up all the bibs and I tried to make, you know, like little prototypes, and they were so ugly. I called them my Bibbensteins. They were horrible. They were disgusting. And they just didn't, I mean, the idea was right, but it just didn't quite work. I couldn't execute it.
Yep.
So I ended up, I had the idea in my head, so I thought, all right, this is going to work. I'm going to do this. And so I went to a product design agency, and I went around to a few different ones and just told them what the idea, you know, the concept was. And I ended up choosing one, and we just worked together on it. And it ended up becoming a bib with a clip that you could open with one hand just by pinching the two arms together and pulling the top off the bottom. So it's quite simple, really, but something that didn't really exist. So I went on this kind of mission to create this thing. And, you know, we only just launched it, so it literally has taken me 2 years to get this product to market.
Yes, of course.
Who knew that a baby bib would take this long?
I can imagine.
But we've got, like, baby bibs, toddler bibs, so there's a whole range. But it took a long time. The research and development side of things, I had no idea how much goes into it. You know, patents, you know, patenting it, everything. So it's been a huge undertaking. But it's called Gigi Bib, of course.
Yes.
Because Gigi. So, it's really exciting. And it's something that we hope will help other parents that are having, you know, issues with getting their baby to sleep or, you know, not waking them. But also the toddler, it's good for toddlers too, because it's quite handy to just have a clip you can pull off with one hand. I mean, I don't know any parents who have a spare hand, really.
Yeah, that's true.
Have another hand free.
Yeah.
Twin mums.
Twins, of course.
Yeah.
Twin mums. I have a friend who has twins, and she has some of them, so she says it's good. But, the kind of ultimate goal with the business, though, is to raise awareness and eventually set up hopefully a foundation at some point, you know, for Gigi and rare diseases. So we're donating a proportion of sales to Rare Voices Australia, which is a wonderful national organisation that's the peak body for supporting people living with rare diseases and advocating for them. Yeah. So that's sort of the start. And then, you know, as we go along, we're going to I'd like to try and also look at the potentially applying the one-handed clip to adaptive wear.
Yes, I was thinking. Yes.
Yeah, because it could be really super helpful for
hair clips,
hopefully, for people.
Yeah.
And even aged care garments.
Of course.
Like adult bibs, adult meal protection.
Totally.
So that's the goal, is to try and move into that space, even, you know, like NDIS land products for people that could be helpful to promote independence. And, that's the end goal, really. But, yeah, the bibs are the sort of the starting point and hopefully can just make life easier. I sort of think parents with a disability.
I think so too.
Like,
well, we think about Molly, who really only has the use of one hand. So there's lots of things in her life that are challenging.
Yeah,
with
Amy
one
and
hand.
I, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about that as well. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway, it's the potential is pretty big, but at the moment we're just sort of focused on getting it, you know, off the ground.
Oh, it's enormous.
Of course. It's so,
talking
so much
about
work.
I just think creating a business with a 3-year-old, I mean, what a woman.
Yeah.
And a 5-year-old.
Yeah.
I might be a little bit crazy, I think.
Well, no, that's all right. You just needed, I don't know. Maybe you wanted to try something.
Yeah.
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 There's never any harm in that. Yes.
But I do feel like it's my third child. Definitely.
Yes. Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's full on.
Well, worthwhile things take up a lot of time.
Mandy and I were watching some of the videos, and
we
were like, oh, imagine how obsessed we would have been.
Imagine me. I would have been like one pink, one purple. Imagine
and then
imagine that.
The little, you can get like a little chain that goes on. Not a chain, like a. You
oh,
can,
the accessories.
Accessories.
Yeah.
I would have had to have the matching accessories in the twin colours.
You would have had blue and green. I would have had pink and purple. I mean, we would have lost our minds.
We've got the wrong one on the wrong one.
I said, you don't understand. I was matching things. I had matching AFOs. I had, you know, hair ties. I had backpacks, drink bottles. I love all this stuff.
We would have been like, oh, my gosh.
Kate and I were probably the most obsessed in our friendship group with that
probably
sort of stuff.
So. Yeah.
Well, I had to do a Lena. I had to do a Lena design as well because, of course, like, I don't want Lena to end
Sibling.
Up in therapy because everything's named after Gigi.
Yes.
She's like, where's my one?
Well, fair enough.
For Lena. So.
Yeah.
So have you got some cloth ones and some of the plastic? Because you got the scoop.
Yeah, so We do, yeah. We've got baby bibs for little babies, and then we've got teething bibs, which are both, they're all cotton.
Yeah.
The teething ones have got the nice little dribble.
Yes.
Silence dribble catcher.
Yeah.
And then we've got silicone bibs, which are the food catcher, the little ones for toddlers. Yep. And we've also got a smock bib now as well, which smocks are quite good, I feel.
Yeah.
Toddlers. Sleeves. Messy, you know, because it covers the whole body.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. They don't have wet sleeves.
Smocks are great.
Mm. Yeah. And we've had a couple of mums who have children with additional needs who've bought those and have really liked them, because one of them was saying, you know, her son just really hates things at the back of his head, and there's with clips at the back clips at the side, so it's got the clip right down the side so you don't have to
fiddle
around at the back
there's
of
a
the
lot
head.
Of yanking.
It feels like it's coming down on you when you've got things around your neck too. I get that.
But even children with hearing aids, you know, so lifting a bib over hearing aids, cochlear implants,
lifting them off the head is terrible.
I think the clip would be terrific for families.
So yeah, yeah.
Nice people with feeding tubes, so you're not worrying about that going around the back of the head, all
that's
sorts of things.
Yeah, that's true. Mm. But then also the other unintended benefit from the toddler ones is that they're quite hard for toddlers to pull off themselves. You have to know how to pinch the clip, and so it's easy for parents, but it's hard for toddlers.
Terrific.
Which is good, because they like to pull their bibs off.
And
they
throw them.
For no apparent reason.
Yes.
Helpful.
They do.
Look,
that's
an OH&S and for the house, actually, because no one's going to get a flying bib at them.
Yeah, and similarly, the little accessory tether is good too, because you can't, it's a similar thing, you can't pull it off. It attaches inside the clip. So like with normal dummy chains, you know how kids just rip them off their jumpers and, you know, chew on them and throw them on the floor and things. You can't pull it out unless you undo the bib. So it's actually part of the bib. So
they're really cool.
I think the world's your oyster, actually. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Exciting.
It's a huge thing to do something like this. It's huge.
Yeah, I think sometimes I felt like I needed it too.
Yeah, I understand that.
Excellent diversion.
You just need something that's just your own and, you know, that you can really throw yourself into it.
You can start the task and finish it.
Yep.
I mean, that's amazing. Yeah, life-changing. Yeah.
And also something meaningful out of a diagnosis, right? So, this, even when I started my sleep work and I was like, I want to work with families with disabilities, I'm going to make this, I'm going to make this work meaningful rather than I just do it because.
Yes.
It helped me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. For sure. Yep. I mean, we're all changed people.
Yeah.
Once this, you get a diagnosis.
Yeah. I think so. And the other thing I've noticed with mums that I've met since having Gigi and since receiving the diagnosis and meeting mums with kids with additional needs and things is I feel like it completely changes you in a way that it just makes you, for me, it just made me not scared of things. I wasn't scared to fail anymore, and I wasn't worried about people thinking it was silly or me not doing a good job, you know, like what people thought or whether I should be doing a different kind of job or not, you know, like I just don't care about that anymore.
Nothing's more important.
There's so much perspective.
Yes.
You just get so much perspective.
Exactly
right. So true.
Nothing's more important than your girls.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
It's a real gift, actually.
I think so too.
It wakes you
up.
Yeah, it just makes you realise.
It really does.
It wakes you up into the world.
Yep.
And you start looking
Life
at the
short.
World. Yeah, that's right.
You just see everything in a different light, and it's a beautiful light.
Yeah.
And
we're
really,
lucky.
Really we are really lucky. Yeah.
So lucky.
So is there anything else that you want to tell us?
Yeah, have we missed anything?
No, I think there's just that if any mums or dads as well are listening and are wondering whether they should, you know, question things or, you know, they're too worried to ask a question to a doctor who's a specialist or don't want to feel silly, just don't, because just do it, because, I mean, it's your child, you know best.
Yes.
Yeah,
parents
you do.
Are so rarely ever wrong about
That's
their
true.
Children.
They really are.
I just want people to know that it's okay to question it, and sometimes doctors are wrong. So.
Yeah.
We're all
wrong.
We're all
it.
People.
Yeah. They're just humans.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
And if they're not wrong, you've lost nothing.
No.
Exactly.
Looking after your baby.
I like the line, just humour me. I did that with the doctor with the tonsils with Miss 11. I said, just humour me. I'll pay a fortune for the ear, nose and throat guy. But just if you could just please write that and then I'll come back to you and say that you were right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I clearly remember saying that to him because I know I'm right.
Yeah.
Or you'll come back and say you were
wrong. maybe I wouldn't have.
Not you.
Well, thank you for sharing your story. We will add everything to our Instagram, your beautiful Instagram page. get people, take some photos, buy some GG bibs, and we will be cheering her on personally, of course.
Thank you.
And thanks for sharing a great support worker with Amy with me.
Oh,
and
thanks.
One day I'll have the Christmas party I've always dreamed of.
Yeah. We will one give day we'll
Amy
meet in person.
Yeah, we'll give Amy a Christmas
when
party.
The plague
as we share it with another beautiful family too. So we will do that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
No worries.
It was so nice to talk to you. Yeah,
thank you. Oh, Chrissy was gorgeous.
She was so gorgeous. You sort of seen her beautiful backdrop. I'm always transfixed by people who go to effort.
No, it was just a virtual one.
I know it's virtual, but she's got like the big.
I know, it was gorgeous.
Nice little side table. The side table's got a little booklet on it or something. I was like,
I do not have that.
Not
I have a
at
plain
all.
Wall.
I did see a dog walk through it at one point. Like, that's not a virtual
Maybe
dog.
I need to work that out for me.
Yeah. Anyway, it was lovely.
Yeah, it was great. And, you know, it's a good reminder too to just even hear from people. Lots of ways along the journey.
Yes.
Because obviously in the beginning, lots of my friends had kids the same age.
Yes,
and so
that's right.
I always want to make sure we've got people with all sorts of parts of the journey.
Yes.
So, and yeah, what a woman starting a business.
What a woman.
And,
women you know, are amazing.
They are. Go and find her Instagram page. We will link it everywhere.
Yep.
So, give her a follow. And if you're a rare mum and you would like, you know, to reach out to her, I'm sure she would, you know.
Yeah, the more friends, the
better. The more friends, the better. But also, you only need a couple.
That's right, you do.
Yep, if we model that to our kids, it's actually the truth.
It is the truth, yeah.
So, okay, what made you cry, Kate?
What made me cry this week was, it was a nice sort of cry. So I went and saw my psychologist this week and I didn't really cry there, but when I left I did.
Mm.
And she just said to me, you've done really amazing, hard things in your life and you are an amazing person. And when you hear it from somebody who doesn't really know you, you know, and she's like, you know, you walked away from a religion that was everything you knew, and then you also realized that the marriage was not healthy and you walked away from that.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, people don't have the strength to do either of those things
and you've done
them. And she's like, you know, because I said, oh, I'm worried I'm not supporting my friends enough or I'm not, you know, like all the things we worry about. And she was like, you're rebuilding.
Yeah.
You've actually changed.
You are.
And I was like, wow. And I don't know. When I got to the car, it just hit me and I couldn't leave.
Yeah.
You know, so
just
that was
have
my
a big
cry.
Car sob.
Yeah. But it was sort of good because it's affirming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we need that help.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Just to get us out of our own heads and actually bring stuff out and go, you're doing really amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah. A little bit of self-love.
Yeah, well, that's right. You have to pay. It's okay.
Yeah, that's right. I'm happy to pay for
I'm happy to pay too.
Yeah.
It is guaranteed an hour for me to spill my guts.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I love it.
Yep, yep. What about you? What made you cry?
I didn't cry, but I just our house, half the power went out on Monday, so I had no heater. And
it's cold.
It was so
as
cold.
Mentioned previously.
And anyway, we had our house re-stumped. So I was working with the family on Friday, and they were lifting up my house as I was working. So the walls were cracking, and this beautiful mum was like, it's okay, it's okay. Anyway, so there was a loose cable. But luckily my neighbour, who is the guy that was in the very first episode of this podcast that I accidentally included in the group chat.
Go back and listen.
He's awesome. He came, he rigged up cords to the heater. I had cords going everywhere in the kitchen so I could have the fridge and the Wi-Fi. And yeah, so anyway, it's getting fixed and we're going to have all new power stuff.
Yep.
So I was just cold and
tired
of things going wrong in our old house.
Yes.
I'm tired of it.
Yes.
But anyway, we're getting there. We have a flat house now.
So, no more rolling marbles.
No more rolling. He goes, you were 7 centimetres down in your bedroom. I said, I know.
Yeah, we can feel it when we walk, mate. I've lost the deodorant.
Even Amy, she opened the pantry. She's like, wow, the door. Got no creaking anymore.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, so I didn't cry, but I was flat.
Yeah.
And I was flat and cold.
Yeah.
Anyway, what about your make a difference?
Okay, so my make a difference is that my mum has been coming down, I think I mentioned last time, a couple of times a week. I say coming down. She lives 45 minutes away.
Yeah.
It's a long way when you grow and live up in a sort of country to come down to the
smoke. Yeah, it's a drive.
Yeah, it's a drive.
It's not a pop-in.
No, it's not a pop-in. She usually stays. And I've been trying to, you know, declutter and clean out things. Like 2 years of COVID of everyone in the house.
Yes.
We didn't do anything.
It's an enormous amount of stuff.
I don't know what's going to happen with my life. So I have to be able to get things in order.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really feeling driven by that, you know, when it kicks in.
Yep.
So I said to Mum, let's clean out the St Kilda cupboard. So obviously I love St Kilda football.
Yeah.
Even though they are shit, let's just be honest. They keep losing. But anyway, I love them.
Yep.
And when you're a member, you get a scarf every year. And there's a lot of us.
Yes.
There's a lot of scarves.
Oh,
and I haven't been able to
course.
Throw them out. I don't know why. Yeah. But they have the year on them.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so I said to Mum,
well, proud you're a member.
I'm going to keep one of each year.
Right?
So I kept them all. We folded them all up nicely. Then there was like three big bags of
scarves.
Wow. She's like, well, what do we do with these? And I said, well, I suppose the op shop will have them. They're still warm scarves.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she took them because she takes my op shop stuff so it doesn't just sit
at
my front door for 2 years.
I just dumped some today, actually.
Anyway, and then she messaged me. She's like, I'm turning them into blankets so I can take them to the footy and put over my – so they're coming back. The scarves are coming back. But I'm going to give one to number one daughter and one to scholarship.
Beautiful.
And she's arranged them like we have – St Kilda has like a round where we – it's for Nick Revolt, who was our captain's sister who died of a blood disease.
Yes.
And it's called Fight Like Maddie.
Yes.
And so those ones are purple. And then we have the pride round that's a rainbow.
Yes.
So she's made them all different.
Yes.
And they're just – I can't get over how much I love them.
Oh,
so that's my big make a difference.
Beautiful.
And she's so proud.
Yeah.
She's like sending photos and she's telling all her friends.
She's doing a good job.
Yeah, it's been really, really lovely.
Oh.
So, yeah, what about you?
I just had my book club Friday night and I just love them and I just shouting them out for being my lovely oldest friends.
Yep.
And we just laughed and we did talk about the book. Sometimes we don't.
Always a bonus if we actually – what was the book?
I didn't read it. I haven't read for years. I just go to see them. But the diehards read.
Yeah, yeah, right.
It doesn't matter. Right. We book it in for the year.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
So anyway, I just love them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm good. So thankful for them. Yep. And the biggest make a difference for Molly is Arma Cain's, you've done it again.
Yeah.
Roast dinners.
Really?
She's losing her mind.
No.
I don't know, because she did her work experience at Coles.
Oh.
She saw the boxed dinners. Now, I don't ever buy them.
No.
Aldi's, I don't know about theirs. And I suppose.
The whole dinner.
I suppose just for cost, I've never bought a roast dinner in
a
McCain's box,
thing
right?
That we would do.
I've just never done that before. Anyway, so she wanted to try one. It's the roast lamb with potatoes, carrots, and beans. And gravy, you know, just in the little bowl, right?
Like a TV dinner.
Yes.
Right.
Loves them.
This is blowing my mind.
Loves them. We just stab it with a fork,
put
it in
the microwave
for 7 minutes, leave it for 2 minutes, take off the film, and she eats the whole thing. Smashes
really? So
it
much
down.
Independence too.
I just thought, where have I been?
Yes.
So we bought the roast chicken, the roast lamb. We tried the schnitzel.
No.
So we're sticking with the lamb and chicken, but I thought it's the same every time.
Yes.
That's why.
And it's a manageable size.
It's
a
great
manageable
size. She's eaten all the carrots, all the beans. If I had to put them on her plate, no way.
Wow.
So I don't know if you want to try it, peas, but she's 17.
Yes.
And she loves it. Can I have my roast? Yes, you can.
Oh, this is so cute.
I know, it's
I love it. Yeah.
And she's been starting to put it in the microwave herself.
Yeah,
and I thought, well, I suppose this is something for her future.
Yes.
Right? And she loves them.
Yeah, awesome.
We're going to have the chicken or the lamb tonight.
It's like you're at a wedding. Chicken or beef.
It's sort of a bit hospital food-ish, but anyway.
No, she likes
it. She likes it.
Yeah.
She loves them.
Yeah, this
so that
great.
Has made a huge difference
because
I just buy like three of them and have them in the freezer, and then if it's a dinner she absolutely doesn't like, she has that.
Yeah.
We've had them for lunches in the holidays.
Yeah.
No one else wants them, so they're all hers. So, it's been a really big difference.
I think it's awesome.
I have
I love
to
it.
Say.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I thought when I was looking at it, I thought, yes, it's the same every time.
Mm.
So for our peas that don't like the difference in textures and stuff, this is the same. Mm.
Yeah, and if you like it,
if you like it, great.
Awesome.
Oh, she loves it.
Oh, it's great.
I cut up the meat for her and then she just stabs it with her fork.
Oh, it's awesome.
Anyway, that's that.
Yep.
Yes. What about your laugh?
Okay, so my laugh is that when I cleaned out the St Kilda cupboard, I found my Dino labeler. Now, I love that labeler so much. It's
Molly
a passionate, deep love. And I'd really sad that I'd lost it. And I was like, I'm not going to go buy another one because I don't really
need expensive.
It. And they're expensive.
Well, they're about $50, I think.
And I was sad. But anyway, I found it. Number one daughter. I was like, look, I found it because we've both been looking for it. Anyway, of course, who has now discovered this?
What have they been writing?
Just labelling everything.
Yes, like, Molly loves hers. She labels everything.
Well, not good labelling.
No.
Like I found a Tupperware container just with dickhead on the
This is the greatest.
So constantly putting stickers on people's backs. Yes. I'm like, it's bringing me joy. So I'm not telling them not to do it.
No, it's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It's lots of swearing. Lots of swearing.
She did a bit of that too. Yeah, yeah. She would write like, you know, texters shit.
Yeah. Yeah. One of them wrote the other ones, F you, blah, blah. And they're like, just stuck it on his bed. I'm like, this is funny.
Oh, no, it is funny.
It's funny. And I get joy from the labeler, and so do they.
Totally.
So the labeler
is a big win. She bought it with her pension. She was like, yeah, she really wanted one.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I back it. I think they're so fun.
Yeah. And really fun.
I label things I don't need to label. I want to label like washing machine. I'm like, stop, just stop.
Well, you're trying to get some order. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
I've been laughing like everyone at Knuckle Bump Farms, the woman on TikTok with her emu.
Oh, yeah.
Emmanuel, the emu. It's given me, our whole family, so much joy. Where's Emmanuel? Because she says she's doing her teaching about the farm and then the emu comes in, pecks her phone, pecks it to the ground. She goes, Emmanuel. Just see this emu come in. It's so funny.
Oh, TikTok,
and then sometimes she's like, Emmanuel Todd Lopez.
It's been
the joy of this week. And then the other day we were sitting at the table and Molly said, because now she's 17, she's like, when I'm 18, I'm going to buy myself a Pepsi.
Yep.
I'm going to sign up to Hoyt's Rewards and I'm going to get drunk.
Sign up to Hoyt's Rewards.
I was like, okay.
Yep.
All right. That's what you really
want. Life goals.
You really want to sign up to Hoyt's Rewards. You can buy her own Pepsi because I refuse to buy it for her.
Yeah.
Every now and then I do.
Yeah.
You know, she wants to be like her mum and start the day at 11 with a ksh of Pepsi and then get drunk. We roared with laughter.
Oh, that's amazing. Such joy.
Yep. I know. So anyway, I'll get a photo of her next year signing up to Hoyt's Rewards.
Yeah, that'll be great. I actually found this week this little book that I'd written things the boys had said over the years.
Oh,
and I didn't realise I'd stopped using their baby book, but I'd bought a book from Kiki K.
Yeah,
and I'd just written a few little things.
Oh, there's some rippers.
Yeah, and I found one that Woody said, and it says, Woody, age 7, Mum, bogans don't have friends, they have mates.
That is true.
I was like, I stand by that.
Yeah, I think
look
that's
this.
True.
This was wisdom.
Well, I suppose we're mates.
Anyway.
Oh, dear.
All right, peas.
There you go, peas.
Rate and review.
Yep.
Thanks for buying our merch.
Yep.
Take some photos in that podcast of therapy stuff and let us know.
Yeah.
And
yep, we'll see you next week.
We will. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.